My name is Mark Grapple, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Todd Wagner.
How is this situation different, if at all, from the previous two cases that we've talked about?
Judge, it's not much different, but I believe some clarification needs to be made. I do believe, obviously, as Justice Kelch mentioned, that the legislature clearly has the authority to set the penalties for certain offenses, and they have broad discretion in doing that. The issue before this court today is whether the legislature intended Class 3 felony penalties to apply or Class 3A penalties to apply. In order for the court to reach that conclusion, I think it requires some sort of statutory interpretation of what the legislature truly intended when it enacted 60-6,197.03. It's my position, an appellant's position, that this statute is extremely ambiguous and unclear as to what penalty provisions the legislature intended to apply. And this ambiguity, Your Honors, stems from the fact, first off, that when the legislature made 60-6,197.03, they took the unconventional approach of combining DUIs and refusals into one penalty section. So they combined 60-6,196 or 60-6,197 and had 60-6,197.03 list the applicable penalties.
That's pretty unconventional. But they can do that, can't they?
I'm sorry, Judge?
They can do that.
They absolutely can do that, Your Honor, but when you do that, you do it at peril, and that peril is confusion. So now we're literally sitting here trying to debate which statute did the legislature mean for which penalty to apply. And I would urge the court to look through the Nebraska Criminal Code, and this is a very unconventional approach where a legislature would take two separate and distinct crimes and put them into one penalty section. And it doesn't stop there. This statute goes on to be more confusing.
You make it confusing if you simply say that a refusal or a DUI or an aggravated DUI under the statute has certain penalties if you have prior convictions for that type of an offense. You're not saying that if you are a felon in possession of a weapon that that's an aggravator in this case, or that you're a felon. It simply says that if you have a conviction for a DUI refusal or aggravated refusal, either 7 or 8 will apply if you have 3 priors.
Correct. That's
the whole case, isn't it? What's so confusing about that particular interpretation?
Because, Your Honor, again, the legislature wasn't real clear in that regard, and I was getting to where this confusion lies. Not only did they combine refusals and DUIs into one subsection, they're defining 10 separate classifications of crimes. Some apply to DUIs, some apply to refusals, some apply to aggravated, some don't. But if I could continue, they also include language, quote, as part of the current violation, end quote. That language only appears in 5 of the 10 subsections.
Counsel, I apologize for interrupting, but yes, it just dawned on me. I think I know what you... I need to clarify in my mind what you and the previous counsel were arguing. So what you're saying is there are so many classifications that in and of itself leads to an ambiguity. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor. And
So you're saying it's the number of classifications. Is that the argument?
Yes, Judge. And the fact that we're using DUIs and refusals under the same penalty.
Didn't you just argue that this should be a Class 3A felony and not a 3 felony?
Judge, that was one of my primary arguments.
Well, then if you understand what the difference is between a 3A and a 3 felony, what's the ambiguity? Clearly, under 3A, you have to have the crime has to be a DUI, period. But under 8, it can be a refusal or a .15 DUI. So that makes it a 3 felony versus a 3A felony in subsection 7.
Judge, it's my position that it's confusing because the words, as part of the current violation, which is the aggravated language...
Well, the current violation is either a DUI, a refusal, or a .15 DUI. That's the current violation. And if you commit that current violation and have 3 priors, which section are you charged
in? I believe, under the facts of this case, that subsection 7 would apply, which would be the 3A felony and not the 3 felony.
Because he was simply a DUI, that's not the case. It's a refusal.
Judge, I believe subsection 8, actually I believe subsections 2, 5, 6, 8, and 10, where the language as part of the current violation only applies to underlying DUI offenses. It's appellant's position that subsections 1, 3, 4, 7, and 9 only apply to refusal underlying offenses.
That used to be the case, but it's not the case anymore.
I think we're confusing the issues. I'm not arguing that you can't enhance a DUI with a refusal. That is a due process argument I make later in my brief. But for purposes of which penalty should apply, I would agree with you that the legislature redefined that in 2012. They now said you can use a refusal to enhance a DUI and vice versa. You can cross-enhance. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
The issue is, does subsection 7 or does subsection 8 apply? And the problem is when the legislature chose...
Well, what does subsection 8 deal with? Does it deal with refusals with three priors?
Absolutely not, Judge. It deals with DUIs with three prior convictions. So you first must find subsection 8 to apply, that the person was driving under the influence of alcohol. Then, as part of the current violation, the jury must further find that they were aggravated or refused.
To start with, you have to determine that the person refused.
Correct.
And then if he refused, then you look at the statutes to see what the penalty is going to be for that refusal. And in this case, subsection 8 says if you have three priors, you're going to get charged under, you're going to be enhanced and punished under this section. No?
Subsection 7 also has language, three prior convictions.
Yes, but it's not a refusal. There's no language of refusal in subsection 7.
The only refusal language in subsection 8 is for the aggravated portion of it, where it says as part of the current violation, you're either over .15 or you refuse. Herein lies the confusion, and since the legislature never defined as part of the current violation, and cross-reference DUI refuses in one subsection, there's confusion as to which penalty should apply. I believe the language, particularly when there is some ambiguity and confusion there, I think everybody may agree with that.
You have two district courts that have found otherwise in interpreting the statute and found that subsection 8 applies.
Agreed, but I think that's the job of this court.
But those courts didn't appear to be confused, did they?
That doesn't mean they're getting it right, Your Honor. Now look, when we're talking about the rule of lenity and confusion, the rule of lenity strictly says that penal statutes should be strictly construed in favor of the defendant. Ambiguities in penal statutes are resolved in favor of the defendant.
Let's talk about that for just a second. It seems to me in this argument you are saying that a statute which is complex, and I would grant you that this one is complex, is necessarily ambiguous, and I'm having trouble with that, what I'm hearing you say. Now, you may say you're not saying that, and I'll let you respond, but that's what I'm hearing you say.
Judge, there's lots of complex statutes in the Nebraska Criminal Code, but this is ambiguous. It's confusing because this is an easy fix. I believe this is a legislative fix. All they have to do is set out the penalties for refusal and set out the penalties for DUI. When you combine them and start mixing and matching as per the current violation, did you refuse or did you aggravate? This is a separation of powers issue. This court could give it guidance and
mixing and matching ensue after you have a specific crime, and then maybe you mix and match? Isn't that the order of business?
Correct. I think you find the underlying crime, which in this case was a refusal. Now we decide which penalty applies. And I believe that the subsection 8 only applies to DUIs, people that are driving drunk and are either above a .150 or know they're going to be high and refuse.
Where we've come to, that's how you read 8.
I read subsection 8 as applying solely to DUIs and subsection 7 applying to refusals. So yes, refusals can be enhanced.
Is it applying solely to DUIs or aggravated DUIs, or do you think it applies to both?
To DUIs only, and then the jury or judge needs to make the further finding of either an aggravated .150 or a refusal. So you get to the, this goes in front of a jury, they first are instructed, did they prove DUI? And then the further instruction would be further, did they prove .150 or refusal? Refusal, a jury trial in front of refusal, the jury would simply make the decision under subsection 7, did you refuse? And then the judge at enhancement would decide whether or not it was a third or fourth or fifth offense.
But you're not really making a vagueness argument. You're certain that you know the way to interpret this. Where does the constitutionality come from?
Judge, I'm certain there's confusion. And when there's confusion, the rule of lenity says you have to go this way. The legislation needs to fix this problem. This court could give it guidance. And again, I think the confusion further lies in the fact that if you look at subsection 1 and 2 of 66197.03, they treat DUIs and refusals as the same penalty on under subsection 1. And under subsection 2...
That's with no priors.
With no prior, correct, that's Judge.
There's a difference between not having any priors
and
having priors.
Correct, Judge. But the first time you see the language, quote, as part of the current violation is under subsection 2 of 66197.03.
Isn't the intent of the legislature to punish people for repeat offenses of the same crime or similar crime?
Absolutely, but
and
we have to decide which punishment.
Isn't that what's done in 197.03, subsections 1 through 10?
Yes, Judge. If I'm out of time, may I answer? Judge, yes, of course the legislature can punish repeat conduct. Of course the legislature has broad discretion in deciding what penalty should apply. If the legislature wanted to make first offense refusal a Class 3 felony, it could. But the court's job is to look at the language that the legislature chose to use in this particular case and decide whether or not it's unambiguous and clear. I believe this isn't just a complex statute, it's an ambiguous statute, and under the rule of lenity, we must interpret these in favor of the defendant. So in this case, I would submit that the lower court erred in sentencing him as a 3A felony rather than a 3 felony, and that's important in this case.
You got that backwards, to sentence him as a 3 felony instead of a 3A.
Yes, Judge. I urge this court to sentence him as a 3A rather than a 3. And the reason this is so important in this case, Judge, because the sentencing judge, if I recall the sentencing correct, said, if I had an opportunity to not send you to prison, I would. But since it's a Class 3 felony and it's a 1 to 20, if I don't give you probation, I have to send you to prison for at least a year. So if we were sentenced under a 3A felony with a 0 to 5, the judge could have still punished Mr. Wagner for his repeat conduct, but not sent him to prison, unless he could have got a county jail sentence, got work release, and kept his job. So it is a critical distinction. And again, with the ambiguity that exists, I believe the rule of lenity will favor the defendant.
I realize your time has expired, but an ambiguity requires two alternate but equally plausible interpretations. What's the interpretation that's equally plausible in view of the language that says as part of the current conviction?
I think the interpretation that's plausible is exactly what happened in this case. The lower court found that as current violation meant as part of refusal or DUI, because if this court believes that this is just a sentencing setting circumstance where the legislature has the discretion to do it, you know, again, they have broad discretion. But then the issue becomes, if in fact you believe subsection 8 applies to refusals, now the issue is, are you allowing one act of refusal to be both an element of the crime and a sentencing aggravator? In that case, I think that's where the double jeopardy arguments come in, the due process arguments come in, because as I cite in my brief, unless the legislature clearly intended for one act to be both an element and an aggravator, you can't interpret the statutes that way. And I believe the legislative intent in this regard isn't clear. And so I think that's where the subject to interpretation comes in. The court's reviewing it one way. I believe an equally strong argument can be made in support of our position that there's confusion here. So with that confusion, rule of ambiguity controls. Defendant gets the benefit. Tie goes to defendant. Defendant gets the win in that particular case.
Thank you.
Mr. Apple, you've said on several occasions that subsection 7 just applies to DUIs and not to refusals.
If I did say that,
the other way, excuse me.
Judge, I believe all sections apply to DUIs. 1 through 10 apply to DUIs. Refusals only apply to certain subsections. And to me, when we look at the plain language of the statute, I believe that refusals penalties only apply to 1, 3, 4, 7, and 9.
And what part of 7 makes you think that?
Because at the beginning of 66197.03, it says, any person convicted of a violation of 6196 or 6197 shall be punished as follows. He rolled to turn over to 7, except as provided in subsection 8, which I believe applies to DUIs. If such person has 3 prior convictions, such person shall be guilty of a 3A felony. So again, they define which offenses apply at the heading of the statute. You simply need to go out on subsection 7 and say, okay, because the same penalty would apply to a non-aggravated DUI. Let's say somebody submitted to the test and blew under .150 or didn't refuse.
But if you have a current charge of refusal, that aggravates it, doesn't it?
I don't think so. I don't think that's clear that that's what the legislature intended.
Okay, that's right.
They never defined what they meant by as part of
the
current violation.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry to take you away.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ralph, good morning again.
Please, the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. This case, I think, is functionally equivalent to the Rohde case. The Arzola case has a couple additional issues, but they also present the same issue. The motion to quash plea and bar, again, I would reiterate my plain language argument. The fact that the statute is complex or that the legislature took an unconventional approach doesn't change that the language is plain. Language says when you have three priors, you go to sub 7 or 8. Sub 7 says except as provided in sub 8, and then you have sub 8, and it says if you have three priors, it's part of the current violation, which is refusal. That if you have 0.15 or you refuse to submit to a test as required, you're going to do class 3.
Counsel, I'm having a little problem with all this, but it seems to me that if it's a DUI charge with three prior convictions, and there is no refusal, and it's not 1.5,
it goes sub 7.
Then it goes to 7.
Yes.
But if there is a refusal, then it goes to 8, or yes, if it's over 1.5.
That's correct.
Is that your position?
Well, you're talking strictly DUI, right?
Right.
Yes, that's correct. If the DUI is 0.15 or aggravated by refusal, it would be sub 8. Refusal itself, though, is a separate question. And it clearly applies under sub 8 because as part of the current violation, he refuses to submit to a test. So it falls under sub 8 as well. I think the...
It doesn't fall under 7, does it?
No, it does not. I think the appellant's position basically is to change, for example, sub 8, he would have it read, if such person has had three priors and is part of the current violation for DUI, had a concentration of 0.15 or refused. That's not what the statute says. You're adding in additional language there. It's referring to as part of the current violation, which the very first sentence says can be refusal or DUI.
Mr. Ralph, if the subsection 7 did not have that introductory clause, except as provided,
you'd have a problem.
You'd have a problem.
Yeah, but it does, so I think we're okay.
So that's the path.
Yes. As far as the constitutional arguments, well, first the rule of lenity, you have to have ambiguity for it to apply. Our position is there is no ambiguity, and the first offense was treated differently than a repeat offender. I think the legislature has the prerogative to do that. The legislative history I cited to you as well, I think, supports that they were intending to do that. And on the constitutional arguments, I reiterate 9E, and then even if they are preserved on the merits, they are without merit. So we'd ask you to affirm the judgment below. Unless there are further questions, we'll submit it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There is no time for rebuttal. So that concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned, and you are excused. Thank you.